The desecration of the Holy Eucharist has always been at the heart of the Luciferian cult. It is recorded that in the 19th century, a Jew, Moses Holbrooke, a Grand Master of the Supreme Council of Charleston, had composed a sacrilegious mass called a Domicide Mass. Only hosts consecrated in Roman Catholic churches could serve for black mass purposes, as the essential aim was to achieve desecration. A consecrated host was stolen, or what is not difficult to obtain in these times, an apostate priest consecrated with desecration and profanation. An ex-Paladist once revealed that Paladists celebrate what they called three great feasts of Lucifer: the Nativity of Christ, for them a feast of blasphemies against Christ born; Good Friday, a feast of great rejoicing that Christ died on the cross; and Corpus Christi, a feast for desecrating consecrated hosts obtained from apostate priests or by paying women to receive them in churches and bringing them to them. Paris and London have been strongholds of this diabolical black mass for many, many years, and a terrible price will be exacted by God. The Catholic Church celebrates the institution of the Blessed Sacrament on Holy Thursday, and it was on Holy Thursday, March 31st, 1988, that our Heavenly Mother gave a message to Don Stefano Gobbi concerning Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. In it, she said, "Expose him frequently for the veneration of the faithful. Multiply the hours of public adoration in order to make reparation for the indifference, the outrages, the numerous sacrileges, and the terrible profanation to which he is subjected during black masses, a diabolical and sacrilegious cult which is increasingly spreading and which has as its extreme expression unmentionable and obscene acts against the Blessed Sacrament. For this reason, the world is immersed in the deepest of nights, in the darkness of sin and impurity, egoism and hatred, avarice and impiety, and it already seems that there is nothing left which is able to prevent it falling into a bottomless abyss. For the great hour of justice and of divine mercy has already arrived." Again, in a message of Our Lady to Don Gobbi on June 2nd, 1989, she proclaims, "The huge red dragon is Marxist atheism. Its color is red because it makes use of war and blood as instruments of its many conquests. In recent years, the Serbian Marxist-led army performed that function against Catholic Croatia." The next day, her message contained this: "If the red dragon is Marxist atheism, the black beast is masonry. If the red dragon is at work to lead all humanity to dispense with God, to deny God, and thus spread the error of atheism, the task of masonry is not to deny God, but to blaspheme him. That is why in these times, behind the perverse activity of masonry, black masses and satanic worship are spreading everywhere." On August 15, 1989, Our Lady warned that the spread of satanic worship of sects and of black masses is becoming more immense. And on November 1, 1989, there is another warning that refers to the increasingly great spread of satanic worship and black masses. The gravity of these messages is underlined by the words of Sister Lucia, the surviving seer of Our Lady of Fatima, when on the 26th of December, 1957, in a conversation with Father Fuentes, she said, "Father, the Blessed Virgin is very sad because no one heeds her message. Father, the devil is carrying on a decisive battle with the Virgin Mary. He sees that his time is getting short, and he is making every effort to gain as many souls as possible. He wants to get hold of consecrated souls. The last means God will give to the world for its salvation are the Holy Rosary and the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. When God in his providence is about to chastise the world, he first uses every means to save us. And when he sees we have not made use of them, then he gives us the last anchor of salvation, his mother." Judging from a message of Our Lady given to Don Gobbi on the 13th of June 1989, the devil has had spectacular success in achieving his aim of getting hold of consecrated souls. In that message, Our Lady interprets the meaning of the arrival of the second beast of chapter 13 of the Apocalypse. Part of that message is as follows. Above all, as your mother, I have wanted to warn you about the grave danger which is threatening the Church today because of the many and diabolic attacks which are being leveled against her to destroy her. To achieve this end, there comes from the earth to the aid of the black beast that comes from the sea, a beast that has two horns like those of a lamb. The beast with two horns like those of a lamb stands for the masonry which has infiltrated into the heart of the Church, that is, ecclesiastical masonry, which has spread above all among the members of the hierarchy. This Masonic infiltration in the heart of the Church was already foretold to you by me in Fatima, when I announced to you that Satan would be introduced right up to the highest point in the Church. If the purpose of Masonry is to lead souls to perdition, leading them to the worship of false divinities, the purpose of ecclesiastical Masonry, on the other hand, is that of destroying Christ and his Church, building up a new idol, that is, a false Christ in a false Church. In the continuation of this message, Our Lady points out that ecclesiastical Masonry is at work in a subtle and diabolic way to lead everybody to apostasy by justifying sin, presenting it as no longer an evil, but as a value and something good, by denying the historical reality of the miracles and of the resurrection, casting doubts on the divinity of Christ, by spreading a false ecumenism which leads to the acceptance of all the Christian churches, asserting that each one of them possesses part of the truth. It cultivates the plan of founding a universal ecumenical church formed by the fusion of all the Christian confessions, among them the Catholic Church. Ecclesiastical Masonry tries in many and subtle ways to attack the Church's reverence towards the sacrament of the Eucharist, undermining the sacrificial value of the Mass, looking on it as only a meal, striving to deny the real and personal presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Ecclesiastical Masonry tries to destroy the foundation of unity in the Church with a subtle and insidious attack against the Pope. So, with that message, the greatest crisis of the Catholic Church has been revealed by the mother of that Church in her words, ecclesiastical Masonry, which has spread above all among the members of the hierarchy, the beast with two horns like a lamb. Surely the greatest success of Satan is the corruption of some Catholic bishops called by God to be successors of the apostles and defenders of the faith. According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, the person who corrupts the faith of God for which Jesus Christ was crucified by evil teaching will go into unquenchable fire, and so will the person who listens to him. St. Thomas Aquinas said that the Christians who knew more than many others who are in hell are more deserving than those others of endless torture. No wonder Pope Paul VI said the smoke of Satan has entered into the Church. According to Pope Pius X, the saint, the modernists are of the opinion that their place is and remains within the Church in order to gradually transform the general awareness. They have succeeded, as Our Lady said, in wiping out the general awareness of sin, presenting it as no longer an evil. Even as far back as in 1956, Pope Pius XII, in a Christmas radio message, said, "Formerly sin was acknowledged as such, and when it is acknowledged, there is always the possibility of pardon through the infinite mercy of God. On the other hand, if a man will not avow that an action of his is morally wrong, he will not pray for the grace of forgiveness or amendment." End of quote. Dr. Rudolf Graeber, Bishop of Regensburg, in his booklet, Athanasius and the Church of Our Time, quotes from the Paris Masonic Journal of the Grand Orient of France, Le Humanisme, in 1968 as follows. Among the pillars which collapse most easily, we note the magisterium, the infallibility, which has just had to face being stormed by married people on the occasion of the publication of the encyclical Humanae Vitae. The subsequent death of confession, now that sin in our days has become a completely anachronistic concept handed down to us by the rigorous medieval philosophy, which was in turn the heritage of biblical pessimism. This article in the Masonic Journal, Humanisme, May, October 68, comes to a conclusion. What we are faced with is a gigantic revolution in the Church, which already contains in it the prelude to victory. When the traditional structures collapse, all that remains will follow. It is not the scaffold that is awaiting the Pope. It is the rise of the local churches, organizing themselves democratically, rejecting the dividing line between clergy and laymen, creating their own dogma and living in complete autonomy of Rome. End of quote. Bishop Graver's comment on this is, we are grateful for this frankness. We now know what we are up against. Lucifer's plan is laid out clearly and openly before us. Our Lady in the message to Padre Gobbi of June the 13th, 1989, on the beast like a lamb, says, the Church succeeds in being united because it has been founded on the cornerstone of its unity, Peter, and the Pope who succeeds to the charism of Peter. So ecclesiastical masonry tries to destroy the foundation of unity in the Church with a subtle and insidious attack against the Pope. It weaves plots of dissension and challenge against the Pope, supports and rewards those who scorn and disobey him, spreads criticisms and the opposition of bishops and theologians. In this way, the very foundation of its unity is demolished, and thus the Church becomes increasingly torn and divided. End of quote. From the beginning of her messages to Padre Gobbi, which began in 1973, Our Lady has again and again foretold that a great apostasy from the Catholic faith was imminent, and as she said on September the 2nd, 1980, the Pope would be the rock against which the great division will take place. She calls Pope John Paul II the great light which my Immaculate Heart has given to the Church. This Pope is a sign of my extraordinary presence at your side. He is becoming the stumbling stone for all my enemies and the rock against which the great division will take place. Within a short time, the apostasy will become manifest. Only those who will be with the Pope will be saved from the threat of shipwreck in their faith. On the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrow, September 15, 1983, Our Lady's message included, I am beneath the cross which the bishops who remain faithful are bearing today, while the number is growing of those who want to travel their own road without listening to and following the Holy Father, him who Jesus has placed as the foundation of his Church. They are preparing another Church separated from the Pope. So there it is. To interfere with John Paul II is the same as to interfere with St. Peter. Jesus founded his Church on Peter, but the present Pope is just as much the personal representative of Jesus as Peter was. Tampering with the papacy, trying to get rid of its power in the world. Incidentally, the devil's greatest desire draws down Christ's anger. An unforgiving anger with no compassion. An anger much greater than the anger Jesus displayed in whipping the desecrators out of his Father's house. An anger shared by his Heavenly Father, judging from a conversation St. Catherine of Siena had with the Almighty during one of her many ecstatic visions, which she recounted as follows. God the Father, whose is this blood, Catherine, the blood of our Lord, your divine Son? God the Father, to whom did my Son give the keys of this blood, Catherine, to Peter the Apostle? God the Father, yes. And to all Peter's successors up to this day, and to all Peter's successors until the end of time. That is why the authority of these keys will never be weakened, because the strength of this blood can never be diluted. So, God gave direct orders about a tree in paradise. The consequences of disobedience were immense for all humanity. God gave direct orders about the papacy, the nerve center of his church. The consequences of disobedience are immense for all humanity. The disobedience to the papal authority, divinely appointed custodian interpreter of God's revealed will, the teaching that God demands of mankind for salvation, is directly linked, of course, to the disobedience of Adam and Eve, original sin. In the Garden of Eden, the devil's two lies were, you will not die, you will be like God if you disobey God. In March 1976, the present Pope, when he was Cardinal Archbishop of Krakow, gave the Lenten retreat in the Vatican. In one lecture, he spoke of the devil's temptation in the garden, you will be like God, as having attained an extreme form today in a historical context that suits it. It seems that the extreme form of that temptation has inundated mankind through the continuous efforts of Lucifer's army, through the Kabbalistic Gnosticism of Masonry and Marxism. The occult Masonic practice of initiation must spread out into a mass planetary Luciferic initiation according to the leaders of what they refer to as the New Age. Their version of Gnosticism, called Theosophy, lusts after godhood. And of course, as a version of Gnosticism, has to be connected with the Jewish Kabbalah and Masonry. In fact, Marx, Lenin and Trotsky were Theosophists. In 1875, the Russian occultist Helena Blavatsky founded the Theosophical Society with the aim of making occult knowledge available to all and to synthesize religion on the base of occultism. What she really sought was the establishment of Lucifer's one-world religion. When she settled in London in 1887, she started a theosophical magazine called Lucifer the Lightbringer. Blavatsky received a high Masonic degree for her book Isis Unveiled, and her successor Annie Besant and several of the Society's first officers were Masons. The teachings of Blavatsky and Alice Bailey, well-known theosophists, formed the New Age Bible. Bailey's book, Initiation, Human and Solar, was published in 1922 by the Lucifer Publishing Company, New York. When they realized that they were giving the game away, they changed it to the Luchas Publishing Company, which now has an address, 886 United Nations Plaza, New York, an appropriate address close to the heart of the whole thing. Bailey in her book is quite frank in her revelations concerning the secrets of initiation, necessary, as she puts it, until all have been occultly saved. Their theosophy takes evolution to its logical conclusion, godhood for everything. Their belief is that the whole universe is evolving in consciousness, directed by those with paranormal abilities who will create for Earth a brain and a heart, and raise up all matter to godhood by initiation into complete knowledge, godhood for everything. The occultism of the New Age movement is man's attempt to achieve the total consciousness of God. But according to them, many reincarnated lifetimes are necessary to attain this goal. So in reality, what it all adds up to is the devil, once again as in Genesis, saying, it is not a sin to disobey God, you will be like God, you will not die. Transmigration after death will save you. Reincarnation or transmigration of souls, of course, is a teaching of the Jewish Kabbalah. The Encyclopedia Britannica under Theosophy states that, quote, the theosophical movement of the 20th century, with which Gnosticism has much in common, rightly claims the Gnostics as its spiritual ancestor, end of quote. It also states in the Encyclopedia that the most characteristic feature of this modern theosophical teaching is belief in reincarnation. in the Manichaean Gnostic system, after death, transmigration of souls was a method of purification for the less perfect, called auditors or catechumens. This means of liberation for the souls of catechumens finally ended up in the body of an elect, thereby securing salvation. As regards damnation, that is the consequence they held for those who refused to accept truth, Gnostic, Manichaean, dualism. It is surely a supremely clever trick of the devil to persuade people that they are damned unless they believe that he is God. A prominent guru of the New Age, David Spangler, author of the book Revelation, Birth of a New Age, has been very candid in another book of his called Reflections on the Christ, Fintorn, Scotland, 1978, where in pages 40 to 44, he writes as follows. Christ is the same force as Lucifer. Lucifer prepares man for the experience of Christhood. As we move into a new age, each of us in some way is brought to that point which I term the Luciferic initiation, the particular doorway through which the individual must pass if he is to come fully into the presence of his light and his fullness. Lucifer comes to give us the final Luciferic initiation that many people now and in the days ahead will be facing, for it is an initiation into the new age. End of quote. Of course, for these people, Jesus is not the historical personage Jesus Christ. For them, Jesus is only an initiate, one of the many Christs reincarnating through the ages in different bodies, such as Buddha, Krishna, and others. All beings who succeeded in developing in themselves certain superior powers latent in all men, serpent power, kundalini, the sex force, etc. Blavatsky, drawing on Eastern mythology, Tibetan Lamaism, etc., proclaimed a hierarchy of masters inhabiting Venus when not on Earth. She didn't know, as we know now, that Venus is an inferno. She claimed that her theosophical society was founded at the command of her spirit guides or masters. Jesus, for them, is a junior master. In one reincarnation, he was the Christ. His senior, the Buddha, supposedly was reincarnated in 1977 as the head of the hierarchy. It is interesting that the English Society for Psychic Research proved fraudulent Blavatsky's mediumship and claim of spirit masters. In fact, her masters were not spirits, but instead French Kabbalist Masons. The leadership of the Theosophical Society is Masonic, and the alternate name for both is Universal Brotherhood. It is the same Universal Brotherhood proclaimed in that editorial of the London Jewish World, February the 9th, 1883, as the great ideal of Judaism, quote, when the whole world shall be imbued with Jewish teachings, and that in a universal brotherhood of nations, a greater Judaism, in fact, all the separate races and religions shall disappear. Alice Bailey, in her book The Externalization of the Hierarchy, New York, Lucas Publishing Company, 1957, discloses on page 511 that New Age preparations were being directed by Freemasonry, the chief cornerstone of the New Age movement. So now we see better the reality behind the words of Our Lady in the message to Padre Gobbi on June 29, 1983, when she said, "Now the struggle between your Heavenly Mother and her adversary has entered its decisive phase. The Red Dragon is atheistic Marxism, which has now conquered the whole world and has led humanity to construct for itself a new civilization without God. Because of this, the world has become an arid and cold desert, immersed in the ice of hatred and in the darkness of sin and impurity." And she goes on to warn how the black beast is masonry there and has infiltrated the church, trying to destroy the main bulwark against evil. Communist officials in Vietnam some years ago read that message of Our Lady in the book to the priests, Our Lady's beloved sons, because of that message, they put an 81-year-old Vietnamese priest in jail for life. Our Lady said Marxism has now conquered the whole world and constructed a new civilization without God. Obviously, the whole world has not been conquered in a military sense, but it has been conquered by New Age indoctrination at all levels of religion and culture. The so-called liberties claimed in the name of the New Age, such as abortion on demand, contraception, condoms, divorce, homosexual marriages, are all sinful practices in the eyes of God, and millions are under the power of Lucifer because of them. Sodomy, for example, is permitted by the Jewish Talmud, and New Agers worship Lucifer through sodomy because not only is it sinful, but it also mocks God's creative powers. It is being promoted as never before in these years by the New Agers through their controlled media, especially, of course, television. In the New Age book Towards a Human World Order Beyond the National Security Straitjacket, Mish 77, a strategy is outlined that includes consciousness raising in groups for building world order agencies, commitment to political action, and groups to produce grassroots movements, and the crucial control of the media. Several years ago, one of the acknowledged world leaders of the New Age movement, John Randolph Price, claimed that there were more than 500 million New Age advocates on the planet at that time, working among various religious groups. According to Father Malachy Martin, networked throughout the Roman Catholic Church are teams of former Christian believers, bishops, priests, and laity, who are subtly and gradually transforming the meaning of baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist, marriage, confession of sins, anointing, and priesthood. Sacraments all, they become instead celebrations of earth festivals, cultivating man's relationship not with a loving God, but with what they believe is an earthbound destiny in the global village to come. See The Keys of This Blood, page 309. We can see how successful the movement has become that the third Masonic Pope, Lemmy, led to establish the nature cult everywhere. The Jewish Kabbalah is based on pantheism, pan, nature, and theism, godism. Pantheism holds that the sum of nature is God. So if a man can dominate nature, he will become God. The mainspring groups of feminists are devoted to the goddess, who they believe is found in nature and in themselves. And their witchcraft, Wiccan rituals are supposed to tap the goddess power. Lucifer must be delighted with them. Perhaps it is not too late for at least some of them to stand back from the abyss and listen to the wise words of Gilbert Keith Chesterton, who said, "The essence of all pantheism, evolutionism, and modern cosmic religion is really in this proposition that nature is our mother. Unfortunately, if you regard nature as a mother, you discover that she is a stepmother. The main point of Christianity was this, that nature is not our mother. Nature is our sister. We can be proud of her beauty since we have the same father, but she has no authority over us. We have to admire but not to imitate." From Orthodoxy, Dodd, Head and Company, 1954. The power that the Masons seek in nature is revealed by Pike in his Masonic books and in his Morals and Dogma, a chapter under the heading Knight of the Sun or Prince Adept. On page 734, he has the following: "There is in nature one most potent force by means thereof. A single man who could possess himself of it and should know how to direct it could revolutionize and change the face of the world. It is a universal agent whose supreme law is equilibrium." In the chapter Sublime Prince of the Royal Secret, the same book, page 860, he has that equilibrium possible in ourselves on which Masonry incessantly labors to accomplish in its initiates and demands of its adepts and princes. And again on page 858, the royal secret of which you are prince, the mystery of the balance, it is the secret of the universal equilibrium. And in the Night Kadosh chapter, page 817, we have, the world will soon come to us for its sovereigns and pontiffs. We shall constitute the equilibrium of the universe and be rulers over the masters of the world. End of quote. Obviously, they have swallowed hook, line, and sinker, the temptation of the devil. Taking him to a high mountain, the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. I will give you all this, he said, if you fall at my feet and worship me. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. The price for accepting that offer of the devil is to end up in hell without any equilibrium at all. On July the 13th, 1917, at Fatima, Our Lady, the Mother of God, showed hell in a vision to three very young children, one of them Sister Lucia, still alive, described that experience in her book Fatima, in Lucia's own words, on page 108, and she described it as follows. Our Lady showed us a great sea of fire which seemed to be under the earth. Plunged in this fire were demons and souls in human form, like transparent burning embers, all blackened or burnished bronze, floating about in the conflagration, now raised into the air by the flames that issued from within themselves, together with great clouds of smoke, now falling back on every side like sparks in a huge fire, without weight or equilibrium. Without equilibrium, surely inspired choice of words by the Portuguese nun. In a message to Father Gobbi on November 28, 1979, Our Lady indicated that priestly prayer joined to suffering and offered through her had incalculable power for a far-reaching chain reaction for good, spreading everywhere in souls and being able to re-establish equilibrium and to equalize the balance of the scale of God's justice. Many times Our Lady in her messages to Father Gobbi has warned about hell. On October 30, 1975, she spoke about hell, into which innumerable souls are falling every day. On December 8, 1978, your real malady is sin. Each day it brings many of my poor children to eternal death. At Fatima, October 13, 1982, we have, in this world, which has become worse than at the time of the flood, you are truly running the danger of being lost. How many souls there are, in fact, who go each day to hell, because the requests I have made of you in this very place to return to God along the road of prayer, of penance, and of interior conversion has not yet been acted on. On June 7th, 1986, hell exists, it is eternal. And on September 15th, 1987, at Akita in Japan, I am weeping because in great numbers the souls of my children are being lost or going to hell. On May 13, 1988, offer prayers and sacrifices for the salvation of souls, because I repeat again today to you, many are going to hell because there is no one to pray and offer sacrifice for them. Sister Lucia, Our Lady's privileged instrument at Fatima, who was shown hell, confirmed her own view that many go there in an interview she gave to Father Lombardi, S.J., that was reported in the Vatican Weekly Osservatore della Domenica of February 7, 1954. To the question whether she really believed that many would go to hell, she replied, many will be lost. Such is the dreadful consequence of Masonic Marxist New Age perversion in the world today, that has even infiltrated the Catholic Church, the mystical body of Christ. As regards that New Age infiltration of the Church, Cornelia Ferreira, in her excellent pamphlet, The New Age Movement, The Kingdom of Satan on Earth, records that New Agers rejoice that through brainwashing workshops and seminars, they have recruited the Union, an international union of superior generals, the Pontifical Commission for Justice and Peace, the Jesuits, the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, and the National Association of Women Religious. So, a bridge, a rainbow bridge, between Satan and the Catholic Church has to some extent been affected by Masonry. Bishop Graver, in his work Athanasius and the Church of Our Time, writes about a Freemason, Eve Malthusian's writing, entitled Ecumenism as Seen by a Traditional Freemason, which was intended as a contribution towards this bridge between the Catholic Church and Masonry. In it, it is stated, quote, "The goal is no longer the destruction of the Church, but rather to make use of it by infiltrating it." End of quote. According to Bishop Graver, that change in Masonic strategy can be dated to about the year 1908. The actual condemnation of Masonry by the popes goes back a long way. Pope Clement XII condemned Masonry in 1738. Other popes who condemned Masonry included Benedict XIV, Pius VII, Leo XII, Pius VIII, Gregory XVI, Pius IX, wrote five major papal documents against it. The Masons responded by having his funeral cortege attacked with the avowed intention of throwing his coffin in the Tiber. The police stood back, but the young Catholic students of the Irish College in Rome and the Germanicum battled against the thugs and won the day. Pope Leo XIII added four documents condemning Masonry, and Pope Leo warned the world that Freemasonry was the real source and center of Marxist and atheist propaganda in his encyclical Humanum Genus, and that was in 1884. The messages of Our Lady to Father Gobbi quoted have shown how accurate Pope Leo XIII was in his assessment of the great evil of our age. In 1949, Pope Pius XII sent out a special instruction to all bishops warning them of the danger of communist infiltration of the clergy and the Catholic seminaries. On June 29, 1972, Pope Paul VI stated that the smoke of Satan had infiltrated the Church. On November 26, 1983, the Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith issued a document reminding the faithful that membership in Masonic associations remains forbidden, and that the faithful who enroll in Masonic associations are in a state of grave sin and may not receive Holy Communion. This was signed by Cardinal Ratzinger, the prefect, and approved by Pope John Paul II. The rainbow is a symbol adopted by the New Age movement, the Rainbow Bridge, representing the bridge of consciousness that each must build between his mind and soul, oneness with the universe. It conveys the pantheistic and occult belief that we are all one with everything, including nature, and so must operate as members of a world community rather than of a particular nation. This is accepting Lucifer's gift of wholeness, as they put it, which is a pottage of pantheism and secular humanism. And if you accept that gift, you have your own Luciferic initiation. A disastrous consequence of the evolutionalism propagated by the Jesuit Teilhard de Chardin, with his ideal of superhumanity, the stage in which each individual person is absorbed into a common consciousness. Only a priest gone wrong could have succeeded in turning millions away from the supernatural to embrace instead a universal evolutionism. Jacques Mitterrand, brother of the French president François Mitterrand, was Grand Master of the Grand Orient of France in 1962, and in that year he claimed that Freemasonry deserved the credit for the publication of Teilhard's works. He said that Teilhard places man on the altar, and since he was exalting man, he could no longer exalt God. Rome grasped the full portent of this concept, and using all the reactionary forces concentrated within it, it condemned Teilhard and prohibited the publication of his works, he said. Some other New Age symbols include a five-pointed star that points down, representing Star of the Morning, emblem of Lucifer, standing for evil and black magic. The Vulgate translates Morning Star as Lucifer, in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, who didst rise in the morning? Remember the boast of M. Cohan, published in the Communist, Kharkov, April 12, 1919, the boast about the red five-pointed star, symbol of Zionism and Jewry, being adopted as the symbol of the great Russian Revolution, accomplished without exaggeration by the hands of the Jews. There is another star also used as a symbol of the New Age called the Star of David, a dual triangle combination structure giving a star with six points. The two triangles of this star represent the double divinity according to Eliphas Levi and C.W. Oliver, author of An Analysis of Magic and Witchcraft, and who is considered an authority on all Masonic matters. The swastika is another New Age symbol. According to C.W. Oliver, the swastika is a symbol of life, but the swastika reversed is a symbol of black magic. In Hitler's Germany, SS officers had to undergo Luciferic initiation. They produced terrible atrocities. New Agers used the triangle, too, as a symbol. According to the Masonic writer Dr. Margiotta, a triangle inverted, pointing down, represents Lucifer in Masonic Kadosh. Kadosh is a Hebrew word signifying consecrated. They also use an upside-down cross, as it is used in the Black Mass, and even the number of the beast in the Apocalypse, 666, is found woven into New Age logos. It was reported in 1991 in newspapers in the Irish Republic that number 666 was ornamenting the door of a tabernacle in the Catholic Church. No rational person can deny the truth of these words of Our Lady. It is a time of suffering. It is the time described by the Apocalypse in which Satan has established his reign of hatred and death in the world. Message to Padre Gobbi, August 15, 1983. And on July 30, 1986, this is the moment for all of you to take refuge in me, because I am the Ark of the New Covenant. In the time of Noah, immediately before the flood, those whom the Lord destined to survive his terrible punishment entered into the Ark. In your times, I am inviting all my children to enter into the Ark of the New Covenant, which I have constructed in my Immaculate Heart, so that they may be helped by me to bear the bloody burden of the great trial which precedes the arrival of the day of the Lord. Look nowhere else. There is happening today what happened at the time of the flood, and no one gives heed to what awaits him. All are engrossed in thinking about themselves, about their own earthly interests and pleasures. At least you, my beloved ones, must listen to me and follow me. Then through you I can call everyone to enter very quickly into the Ark of the New Covenant of Salvation, which my Immaculate Heart has prepared for you for these times of the punishment. What is the purpose of making these tapes? The answer is to be found in the encyclical Humanum Genus of Pope Leo XIII in 1884. In that encyclical, as already mentioned, the Pope warned the world that Freemasonry was the real source and center of communist and atheist propaganda. In this insane and wicked endeavor, he wrote, we may almost see the implacable hatred and spirit of revenge with which Satan himself is inflamed against Jesus Christ. But in that same encyclical, he also cried out to all Catholics, laymen and women, as well as priests, to tear the mask off the face of the hidden menace. If this is not done, he said, the ruin and overthrow of all things must necessarily follow. There lies the motivation, and on these tapes, many quotations from many authors have been lumped together in an effort to tear off the mask that conceals the malignant globalist plans of the internationalists. Undoubtedly, it is the 11th hour, with ruination threatening through global control just about everything, money, food sources, government, the media, publishing, even control of the choke points in the Vatican. An Achilles heel in the control system is the cassette tape. They can't control that at this stage, despite all their infiltration of church and state over many, many years. So if you think that these tapes can serve in some way towards what Pope Leo XIII called for, why not make a copy of them and urge others to do the same and let them circulate a groundswell of information on the malignant evil affecting everybody's life today is urgently needed. Recommended reading in the New Age. The New Age Movement, The Kingdom of Satan on Earth by Cornelia Ferreira, MSc. Canisius Books, P.O. Box 53534, 4410 Kingston Road, Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. MIE 5G2, cost $2. The Unicorn in the Sanctuary by R. England, Trinity Communications, Manassas, Virginia, 22110, USA. The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow by Constance Cumby, Huntington House. Now is the Dawning of the New Age, New World Order by Dennis Cuddy, PhD, Hearthstone Publishing Limited, P.O. Box 815, Oklahoma City, OK, 73101, USA. R. England, in his book on the New Age, The Unicorn and the Sanctuary, describes the New Age music, one type of which is a droning, hypnotic, deep-toned variety with a heavy beat that seems to induce a hypnotic trance. He said that former New Agers said that it made them feel seduced and filthy, almost as if they had been molested. In a book published in 1974, Dr. David A. Nobel presented a handbook on communist subversion of music under the title The Marxist Minstrels, showing the connection between their rock music and degeneration.